The shaking begin, Father. Let the shaking begin in the house of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, shake us up. Shake us up, Lord. Korama sandara boro sandi ramataka. Oh, rabaka sandala maraboko sandala baka sandala mama. Hiro no sokorobo satila mama. Hallelujah. Ha ha. The Lord is here to break every chain so that no hindrance will remain. And as you praise his name, you will never be the same. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Praise him in this place tonight. Praise him in this place tonight. Oh, let the praise of God go forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I just don't feel like praising him. You need to stir yourself up. You can pour chocolate in milk, but that doesn't change the color until you stir it up. Glory to God. Stir yourself up. Stir up the gift of God that has been given to you by the laying of hands by the presbytery. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way. Breathe on us in this place, Holy Spirit. We are open. We are in tune with you. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord God. He's here on a Wednesday night. He's here to do a breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Hallelujah. You can run through a troop. You can leap over a wall. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. And sometimes your breakthrough might come with just a simple stepping out in obedience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We honor you in this place, Lord Jesus. We honor the Word and the Spirit. Lord, we thank you that the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. Father, you bring things to life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Sandaraboko Sandala Mama. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your holy name forevermore. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praise in this place, Father. We need your presence. Oh, we need your grace. We need your supernatural provision. Oh, Ramasiti ala mama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Anybody got anything that's stirring on your heart? Feel like you have something, I just want you to come up and share it. Hallelujah. We wait on you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say this. Say, I believe.
I
receive.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, you may have your seats if you can. But stay connected. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He's kicking it up. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Acts 9. Then we're going to look at Acts 10. We're going to look at two disciples tonight. And in Acts 9, praise God, thank you, Holy Ghost. Those who want to change will change. Those who don't, won't. And verse 3, Acts 9, 3, talking about Saul, who was threatening the church. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven, the glory of God. Listen, if God will move heaven and earth to get your attention. Some people he has to do more for than others. As we know, some of us are more hard-headed than others. Amen? But God knows how to reach the hard-headed. He knows how to reach the soft-hearted. God can come as a bright shining light, or he can come as a gentle breeze. Or he can just be there. Where you're standing is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Just his presence. And verse 4, he fell to the earth. Let me tell you something. When you encounter God's glory, you may not be able to handle it. And heard a voice saying unto him. I want you to underline that phrase, heard a voice. Now, this was an audible voice. But how many know that God's got a voice? Those who are his sheep hear his voice. What's he going to do with that voice? He's going to lead, he's going to guide, and he's going to direct by his voice. It can be a still small voice within you, or it can be an audible voice like it was here. However, listen, he can get whatever volume you like, God can meet that volume. He can crank it up or he can keep it low. So important to be able to hear God's voice. If you never hear God's voice, you're never going to be led in the right direction. He said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and a stranger they will not follow. Okay? And he said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, it's hard for you. It's dangerous and it turns badly to keep kicking against the goad. That is to offer vain resistance. Resistance is futile. People who don't hear the voice of God, when they do hear it, they're going to offer resistance sometimes. Listen, don't be in the position of resisting his voice. What was Paul doing? He was persecuting Christians. That was not God's will for his life. So God took it upon himself to interrupt Paul while he was going to do his thing so that he could introduce God's thing to Paul. All right? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? Underline that phrase. We as believers need to say this phrase, what will you have me do? You know what? That's a good phrase to say when you wake up. Yeah. Lord, what will you have me do? That's a good phrase to say before you go to sleep. Lord, did I do all that you wanted me to do? Or is there something left undone that you wanted me to do? Oh, you think you need to ask your body whether or not it's time to sleep. Some of us have gotten that mixed up. Your body is not the Lord. Matter of fact, Paul later on said, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Listen, if you ask your body if it's time to sleep, it's always going to say yes. But if you ask the Lord, he may have something that you haven't done or that you missed, because he's seeing things from a different perspective. What will you have me do? Paul didn't know what to do. So he asked, what will you have me do? He asked with an open attitude. In other words, he allowed the Lord to completely fill up the end of that statement, to answer that statement. Paul didn't sit down, well, I think this is what I should do, or I feel like this is what I should do. No, he said, Lord, what will you have me do? See, he was tuning in to his voice. Because for the first time in Saul's life, he's hearing God's voice. And the voice, he's correcting his direction. And we're not even getting to the part yet. Praise God. And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. Every believer must be willing to follow the Lord. And notice, even when he said, what will you have me do? He gave him a simple instruction. Go into the city. Arise, go into the city. And he still didn't even have an answer yet. Then it'll be told you what to do. There's always an element of faith in obeying God's voice. God will always make you act in faith. There will always be an unknown element. And when you take that step of faith, the unknown will be made known. But it's not until you take that step of faith. If you don't take that step of faith, you'll always be in the unknown. Actions will always follow instructions. Because every instruction that the Lord gives will always require an action, some type of action. Now, that action may be as simple as speaking. But the Lord will let you know what action to take. You won't have to sit there and wonder, now, what was I supposed to do? No, you'll know what you're supposed to do. Whether it's speak, whether it's touch, whether it's reach, whether it's worship, there'll be something on the inside of you telling you what to do. It could be as simple as, lift your hands now! Just like that. Actions will always follow instructions. And if you're not willing to act, then you're not really in faith. If you hear God's instruction and you don't act on it, that's not in faith. And if you don't act on it and you wonder, well, how come I didn't get it? Because you didn't act. God will always put on your heart something to do regarding his instruction. Okay? And the men that was journeying with Paul, they heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. And they were a little bit freaked out. Now, when Paul arose, his eyes, he couldn't see, even though they were open. In verse 8, his eyes were open, but he saw no man. So they had to lead him by the hand, and they brought him back into Damascus. So this must have been just outside the city. Now, we're going to get to the meat of this here. And there was a certain disciple. Everybody say disciple. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. A pupil. I like this. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is not one who says, I know, but they say, tell me more. A certain disciple named Ananias. Now, I want you to know, Ananias didn't get saved the day before. You don't become a disciple in one day. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 28? Go into all the world and what? Make disciples. What did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, follow me and I will make you into fishers of men. Did they have to go through a process? Yes. They knew how to catch fish, but now he wanted them to catch men. Similar things, but you're catching a different, you got to use different bait for different fish. So a certain disciple. So Ananias must have been following the Lord for some time. Okay? And he was in Damascus. Maybe he might have been the one of the ones that Paul was going after in Damascus. Because Paul asked for letters from the chief priest to go into Damascus and to take people who were believed in Christ as prisoners. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias was able to discern the Lord's voice. He was able to hear God's voice. And God's voice appeared to him in a vision. What did he say to him? He said, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. Underline, I am here. When you say, I am here, that is an attitude of humility. You're saying, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, I'm available. Notice Ananias didn't say what? He didn't say, I'm busy. He simply made himself available for whatever God wanted to say. I'm here. That's the same thing that Abraham said when God told him to sacrifice Isaac. And he said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, I am here. I'm ready. I'm willing. What do you want, Lord? What do you want me to do? When you're saying I'm here, you're saying, Lord, I'm available for what you want. I'm on your time schedule. I'm on your agenda. I'm following you. Notice Ananias didn't know what the Lord was going to say, but there wasn't any resistance in that phrase, I'm here. In other words, when people are talking to you, it's good to know that you're listening. I'm listening. I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I'm here. All he said was Ananias. The Lord knew him by name, and Ananias knew the Lord. Why? Because he was a disciple. He was a learner. And the Lord said to him, arise and go. Oftentimes, God told Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead, now arise and go. There's something about arising. When a baseball team is at bat, you have the batter, then you have someone that they call it on deck. They have to arise and get ready. And what they're doing when they arise, he's warming up. What's he warming up for? Because he's about to bat next. Why does the pitcher warm up? Why do they take practice roles? Because they're getting ready. When you arise means you're getting prepared to do what God wants done. Go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. I want you to notice God was telling Ananias that Paul was praying. That signified that his heart was changed. Someone who persecutes is not going to be praying. Lord, give me the next person to persecute. God was reassuring Ananias when he said that Paul is praying. If it wasn't important, then why did he say it? That tells me another thing. God knows when you're praying. Right. Or he knows when you should be praying and you're not. See, I want you to understand something. Saul was about to become Paul. God gave him, what do they call it? The 3-day period when you sign a contract? Rescission period. When you sign a mortgage or a home equity loan, they give you 3 days to think about it. And if you want to reject it, you can reject it within a time frame. You can send a written letter and you can say, I don't want to go through with this contract, and that contract will be rescinded, but you got to do it within the 3 days. God gave Paul a rescission period of 3 days. He wanted to see if Paul will accept the contract that God was offering him. Mm-mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Now notice, look at verse 12. He's talking about Saul. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias as coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So while Paul's praying, he's seeing this man named Ananias. You know, God is in the details. God, listen, he is so awesome. He knows how to connect you. He knows how to set you up. He knows how to reach you. He knows what will bring you to the optimum level. He knows what we're missing. He knows what we need. And if we just listen to his voice, all it takes to connecting with what you need from God is to listen to his voice. You know, if people would just listen to God's voice in their finances, he could change things around so much better. But the problem is people don't listen to the written word. What makes you think that if you don't listen to the written word, what makes you think God's going to speak to you audibly? God, how come you're not talking to me? I've been talking to you in my word, but you're not listening. I don't have any further thing to say until you do this. So Paul's seeing this vision while he's praying, and God's speaking to Ananias at the same time. God is a master coordinator. I don't know if Ananias and Saul ever met. It appears like Ananias heard reports about Saul, but it doesn't appear like he knew him. He knew his reputation. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man." So he didn't have a close relationship with Saul. He's going on the words of others. Listen, you may take into others' opinions, but you better get God's opinion as the final one. And if the people's opinion that you've been hearing doesn't match up with his opinion, guess which ones you got to let go. If your feelings don't agree with what God said, guess what you're going to have to let go? Your feelings. "I've heard by many this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem." Apparently Ananias spent some time in Jerusalem. "And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way." Jesus said, "I am the way. Go your way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me." If Ananias would have stopped just by hearing the opinions of others, he'd have missed the instruction. See, God says, "I judge not by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but I judge by the Spirit of God," or "I judge by the truth." "Go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel." Up to this point, Saul was not doing that. But because of God's voice, he was able to change his direction of his life. One word from God really will change your life. "For I will show him how great things he must suffer." So for 3 days, Paul got to consider whether or not he wanted to accept the suffering. What are you called to? "I'm called to suffer." "Oh, I don't want your calling. Get away." Let me tell you something. You know, I heard a good statement today. We went to hear, Les and I, we went to hear Newt Gingrich today in Ephrata. He said, "You're supposed to bear witness, and in bearing witness, you're going to tick people off, so you might as well just bear witness. Because it doesn't matter, you're going to tick people off anyway, so look, just bear witness." I thought that was great. Now, look at verse 17. "Ananias went his way." God said, "Go your way." Ananias went his way. "And entered into the house." "Putting his hands on him." Was Ananias a pastor? Was he an apostle? How about a prophet? Was he an evangelist? Say a disciple. Say Ananias was just like me. See, what made the difference in Ananias' life? He heard God's voice. You got to be able to hear God's voice for yourself. You know, God loves you. He created you. He knows exactly how to speak to you. He knows what you like. He knows what you're into. God knows exactly how to reach you. You know? And as you develop in God, then you can just have him on speed dial. No drop calls. No interrupted service. And it's not even a monthly fee. It's free. And if you want, you can send God knee mail. Knee mail. Listen, God uses the Holy Spirit to give you an instant message. You guys are wired to hear God's voice. But you got to decide if you're going to be in tune or not. If you're unteachable, listen, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Said so much things that I didn't intend to say, but they were necessary. He said, "Brother Saul," man, we're supposed to, faith works by what? Love. He goes in and he calls Saul, whom he heard reports about, brother. There's acceptance. There's a welcoming. He is not ministering to Saul based on his prior knowledge. He's ministering to Saul because of God's word. He's representing Jesus to Saul. Not only does he touch him, but he speaks to him and he calls him brother. Yeah. Brother John. He talks about how the Lord appeared to him. He said that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, if you're going to be a disciple, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't be a disciple without power. There are no wimpy disciples. If you're a disciple for the Lord, he's going to give you his power. Because he doesn't expect you to do things without power. Verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. Thought something was fishy. And when the scales fell off, what happened? He received sight and arose and was baptized. Ananias said, okay, Saul, now that you've been saved, you've been healed, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, now let's wash you clean. Let's dunk you in the water. One thing about Ananias, you don't hear anything else about him. Maybe he got martyred. We don't know. Verse 19, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with his... Go to Acts 22 for just a minute. Acts 22. Paul is now... Look at verse 12. Paul is telling his story now. He said, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Verse 13, came unto me and stood and said to me, brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see that just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. Now, this is Paul telling his story about what happened. And now, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even when I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now, there are three things that are very important in discipleship, because God wants us all to be a disciple, a learner, a follower. Number one, there is a concept like faith, forgiveness, righteousness. And what God does is he takes that concept and he makes that concept a reality in your heart. And then once the concept becomes a reality in your heart, then there's the application in your life. So he shows you the concept. He helps make that concept a reality. He takes it from being a concept and he puts it in you. It becomes real to you. Then you get to apply it in your life. And that is the process of discipleship. And once, and in application, that's where you arise and go. You take what you received and you share it with someone else. And you keep, you take what you receive, you share it with someone else. You take what you receive and you share it with someone else. And that's what we all should be doing. Because who makes disciples? Disciples make disciples. Just like sheep make sheep, goats make goats, bears make bears. You got to be able to take the concept. You got to have that concept as a realization, and then you got to have the application in your life where you apply that concept, where you start to walk in it. And in order to do that, you may have to worship. You may have to praise. You may have to pray. You may have to wait. You may have to meditate. Those are all things that we can do to take the concept and bring it into reality and then make it an application. How do you know which one to do? The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. God gave us not only our own power generator, but our own personal coach. And this coach knows all things. He has a perfect winning record, no losses. He's never lost a match, a game, ever. And he is in you. He's living in you. And God wants some disciples. The other disciple I was going to talk about was Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout man. But something got God's attention with Cornelius, his giving and his prayers. You don't think God cares about your giving? Why did Jesus sit in the back and watch people put in the treasury then? Why is giving directly linked to his blessing? It's through giving that he opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing on us. So, Cornelius had an open heart. He didn't know what he was missing, but he knew to call on God. And God showed him what he needed. He said, I want you to inquire of one named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner. So, what does Cornelius do? He sends some servants to go get Peter. At the same time, Peter's praying. He has a revelation about the clean and unclean. Arise and eat, Peter. Oh, I've never eaten anything. What I call clean, don't ever call unclean. Little did he know that he was about to take the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles for the first time. See, but God was involved in the making of disciples. Ananias was a disciple who helped generate Paul's ministry. Do you realize that without doing what Ananias did, Paul's ministry wouldn't have got off the ground? And that's all the Bible ever says about Ananias. It doesn't say anything else. God will take the ordinary to do extraordinary things. Right where you are, with everything, you are fully equipped. It's God will work in you to do and to will of His good pleasure. He's working in us. But He wants disciples, learners, followers. A disciple is not one who arrived. A disciple is one that's progressing continually, daily, increasing in the knowledge of God, being firm in the faith. A disciple is not a wishy-washy person. A disciple says, my mind's made up. My feet are on the rock. I shall not be moved. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your presence here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's one initial filling, but then there's several refillings. You know, too many of us, we let the Bavarian cream out of our donuts. It's like letting the air out of a tire. You get flat. When you got a flat tire, what do? You put air back in it. God wants to put some air back in you. He wants to fill you up more. Because just living will cause what's inside to come out. And God wants you full. Just like He wanted Saul full. Just like Ananias was full. He had to have been full to be able to give it out. You can't give out what you don't have. He had to have something in him to be able to give it out. And God's power flowed through him. There wasn't any sin blocking the power of God from flowing out of Ananias. It healed. It opened Paul's eyes. It filled him with the Holy Ghost. It got him born again. All in one shot. Tonight is one-stop shopping. The difference between success and failure is being full and hearing His voice. So if there's someone here tonight, maybe there's more than one, and you need to be full, God wants to fill you up tonight.